The following is a Poppy Chulo Radio original program.
Let's go!
Get up close and personal with some of your favorite male porn stars on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Created by Poppy Chulo, One-on-One showcases exclusive interviews with the adult industry's most popular male performers. Here's your host, Poppy Chulo.
Welcome to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Today is Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. Listeners, please welcome adult content creator and producer, scriptwriter, and the mayor of Stroke City Entertainment, Drew Will. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? Happy hump day, bro.
Happy hump day. It's actually, it's 2-5-2-5, which I think is hilarious.
Right? Yeah.
It's funny. But yes, happy hump day. It's great to have you on, sir.
Good to be here. Appreciate you having me, man.
Fantastic. Well, let's dive into it. I typically like to start off these one-on-one interviews by getting some unique stats out of the way. So first up, what's your height and weight?
Let's see, I am 5'10", and I weigh about 220 pounds.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm African-American with some Trinidadian on my mama's side.
What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Scorpio, 11-11 exactly.
And how old are you?
I'm 33, Pippin year.
All right, so let's get to know a little bit about the man behind the performer. Who is Drew Will?
So Drew Will is pretty much introverted extrovert. You know, I'm pretty much chill, laid back, like scope the scene out. Then when I know what's cool or I find the right people to really engage with, you get a lot of craziness, but in a very subtle and politically correct way. Am I a player? I don't know. I feel like I just know what the right things to say are, but it's in good taste, of course. And I feel like, I don't know, not really big on being a lover boy. I like everyone being where they want to be, who they want to be with. But I'm always there for anybody in case they need something.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Plainfield, New Jersey. It's centered in New Brunswick, if people are familiar with the Rutgers area, Rutgers University.
And what was life like for you growing up? What was a young Drew Will like?
Young Drew Will has been very questioning, questioned everything. Basically, if something was in place and we were supposed to abide by it, I either would question it or do something different to find my way to the same place that either people were already trying to get to or somewhere better. So, I don't know. I've always been very inquisitive, and I guess that's kind of what got me to where I am with doing content.
Well, that's a great segue. In total, how long have you been in the adult industry?
I've been in the adult industry since technically 2021. I started with trying to be a performer, then trying to be, a kind of liaison for a brand that is now defunct. Took a break for a minute to really observe and start script writing for In Melon Productions. It's owned by Hazel Grace. She's a performer in the industry also.
She's awesome.
Yeah, so you know her, yeah. She's good people. Started script writing for her in 2022, the beginning of the year, the second year started. And from then on, for that whole year, I wrote maybe about 12 or 15 scripts for her. You know, she paid me well and gave me some good information and a good basis on how to format a scene and not just always have to be Gonzo. But I like both either way. So from there, that's when I started creating my stuff and shooting for myself, because I'm like, all right, I know enough. I've been to Exotica Miami, been to the one here in Jersey. So after the one in Jersey, I started shooting there and it just started picking up. You meet the right people and, you know, here I am now.
No, you are right about that. Shout out to Hazel Grace. I've interviewed her at two Exoticas here in Miami. In 2023, she was talking about like officially doing her production company and like, you know, she had this idea, she was going to do it, And then, you know, she made it happen. And last year in 2024, when we did our interview at Exotica again, it was like a full circle moment because we got a chance to actually talk about this production company that she was so hyped about making a reality. So so it's fascinating. You know, it's a small world, as they like to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about you, though. Let's talk about how you got into the business. How exactly did you enter the adult entertainment industry?
So a lot of people have a lot of different ways of getting in the industry. You know, obviously it's different for men than for women. Actually, it's not obvious. A lot of people think that if you ask one type of person, that it's the same for everyone, and it's just not. So with me specifically, I don't really know what happened. I guess I got tired of dating, and then I wanted to really, like, I don't know, I kind of always wanted to do porn since I was a kid. It sounds crazy, because no one says, yeah, when I grow up, I want to have sex for money. No one really says that. Not really. So I guess it's, you know, there's only, in your mind, there's only a certain point where you should, like, stop. So I guess I wanted to start while I was in my 20s. And I started with Sexy Jobs. It's a website. It's a pretty popular one. And once I made my account there, posted some modeling pictures when I used to do, like, fashion modeling. And I started getting some hits. Some were duds. Some were maybe legit. But the most legit one I'm, or dud, whatever, that I mentioned was the brand that's now defunct, that they called me to do a three-way scene with another guy and another girl. Obviously, I'm straight. So the attention would be focused on the girl. She was actually pretty bad. it was my first one. It was really awkward, but I feel like everyone's first scene. And I still stayed, though, because there's a lot of work to be done between the guy and the other guy and the girl. So, you know, I, like, just stayed. I watched behind-the-scenes stuff, took notes, helped out with the lights, did, you know, anything I could to make myself useful. I'm just that kind of person. So once that was said and done, the guy, he, I don't know, I guess he, like me, like, still staying there. And he said, you know what, we got another scene coming up next week. If, you know, your testing's still valid. So how about we have you come by and see if you want to blend in with that scene? And it was actually a gangbang of like seven guys. So for some reason, not only was I the only person to show his face, but I was able to perform better than the last time. So I said, okay, cool. This is good. I'm going to keep this rolling. And from there, I wanted to still make myself useful like I did before and get into writing because I've always been a writer.
Let me ask you this as a follow-up, not to have you relive your trauma here on this podcast, no. But why was it a bad scene? And I feel like it's important to ask just because I think a lot of people out there think, you know, I can do it. I'm going to be so good. I'm going to get on that set. I'm going to whip my dick out. And it's, you know, it's going to be the most perfect scene ever. And that's not always the case. You know, there are established veterans, you know, that have bad days. Everyone has a bad day, or it could just be a bad situation. Maybe the chemistry isn't there, this, that, or the other. You have no idea why a scene turns out bad until it happens. So I'm curious, because this is your first time doing it, and you were still so interested, you stuck around, and then you had the other shot, and you took advantage of that second shot. And as you said, it was better than the first one. So what went wrong that first time?
So basically, like I mentioned, it was my first scene. And the thing that I want to be very blatant about after doing so many scenes now, like I wanted to have about 50 scenes in the can. And I mean this with all due respect to everyone in the industry, because I'm sure everyone understands this. So porn is not natural. And what I mean is that if everyone was born and raised with the understanding to have sex on camera in front of other people in the same room, maybe everyone could be a porn star, but that's not the case. Maybe some people start out with being just you and the girl, and you guys want to get freaky and pull out the phone or the camcorder and have your own private video. But other than that, the light setup, the pausing of breaks, maybe the director's visuals of how he wants things, and he says, cut, let's do this, get this angle. That's not normal. People are not used to that. So that's something I had to get used to, where the psychosexual dynamic comes in. You know, people don't talk about that. it's really just about making yourself comfortable in your own space, in the space of someone else's, with other people. It's a very deep thing. Call it inception if you want to. But that's really what it was. And that's not something people can do right away. It takes time. Otherwise, there's the alternative, which is taking certain supplements or injections.
No, you are right about that. I think a lot of people fail to realize that, as you referenced, the sex that you're having for the camera is different than normal sex that you would have at home. You have to open up for the camera, because at the end of the day, you're having sex for us. You're having sex for the viewers, for those of us that pay for the scene and that sort of thing. So sex is not the way that it seems, right?
Exactly. And with that, it's like a lot of people will take the assumption that, okay, well, you know what, I'm just going to just take these supplements or take these injections and just like try to have a fire scene, and I'm always keep taking them. But me, I can't do that because I see the long-term effects of that, and I'm very much proactive about my health. And, you know, I don't know, let's say I get silly enough and get married. Not that I'm against marriage, I'm just not looking for it. The point is that I want to have natural performing, you know, strength with who I'm with, to go down the line. So I'm very much a natural performer. You know, I exercise, I diet right, I drink water. At the very most, I might take a Tomcat Alley. You know, it's like a natural supplement. Some people might identify it as horny goat weed. You know, people have heard that. But other than that, I keep it very natural because I think about the long term.
I'm curious to pick your brain about this. Before you entered the industry, had porn crossed your mind as something that you had wanted to experience, something that you wanted to try?
It did, because before I actually entered the way I mentioned to you, what I did was I did an audition. This was maybe like, it had to be maybe like 2016 or something, when I was like I think like just working like in Jamba Juice or something like that. But that was when I first was on Sexy Jobs before I came back in 2021. So this is like in 2015. Went for an audition just to give it a try. And it was a really weird setup. This dude, he had a hotel room. He said, all right, I just want to take some measurements. I want to see how it looks when it's hard and all that stuff. Now, the dude, he was clearly in the guise because he complimented my physique. He wanted to give like a feel of me in every aspect, like, you know, like hands-wise. And I'm like, all right, this doesn't seem like a audition. This seems like a way to get a free hookup. And I was not with that. So I didn't really say that per se, but I kept it very like, hey, I got to go. So basically, when you're on these sites, be sure that this person is reputable and be careful with these independent brands, because they're not always what they seem. So it can be on any website, you know, Model Mayhem, which whatever it may be. The point is, just because someone has a camera or they have a couple videos, don't take it for what it looks like. If you can get a reference, go for a reference. I don't care if you got to hit up an actual established porn star. Do what you can, because you'd be surprised who's ready to help you.
Let's talk about your performer name. Where did the name Drew Will come from?
So like a number of performers, they take a play off of their actual government name. I don't really mind saying that. But the point is that I decided to just switch the styling of it. Like, government-wise, it's spelled Drew. I just put a U for style. And then Will just comes from, honestly, I feel like Will just comes from basically my will to do things. Even in a very, why would you do this moment? You're not going to be able to do this moment, even from coming from me. But I'm just like, you know what? I got the will. I'm just going to give it a try and do it. So it's Drew Will. Funny enough, that actually was not my first choice of names. It was going to be, if you know the singer Robin Thicke, I was going to do Throbbing Thicke, but I felt like it was a little cheesy, so I stuck with Drew Will.
Oh, I love cheesy. That would have been awesome, but I feel like Drew Will is a good name for you.
Yeah, I don't know. If I ever want to rebrand, I'll go for it, but hopefully no one is listening to this. Well, I mean, they will, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Yeah. What do you enjoy most about starring in porn scenes? As someone that's been doing it, as you said, you know, 50 scenes deep, as someone who works not just in front of, but behind the camera, script writing and all that kind of stuff, you know, building your brand. As a performer, what do you enjoy most about starring in porn scenes?
What I love the most is honestly what I used to do related to fashion modeling. I didn't just model, I was project managing. So finding people who could help make this project something bigger or better than just a standard porno or whatever. Or even if it was a standard porno, I like to involve people who are of good faith, talented, and have honestly on-the-spot ideas as we're shooting to enhance the experience. So I like putting it together. And I've always been that kind of person. This is like slightly off topic, but I've just been a creative person. Like I used to do a podcast even. I used to just put people together in the room that can make it happen. I put a DJ in this room. I put a someone else who could contribute good conversation. The same thing is with this also. I find a photographer. I find a videographer or someone who could do both. The right co-star, maybe a second co-star. We get a theme going. Then the actual space itself and actually even going shopping for the actual props and such. All that means a lot to me because it's just the experience, not so much as the actual product, even though that is the point of doing this, but that experience means a lot.
When you're on set about to perform for the camera, what turns you on the most and what turns you off the most? Sort of like the good and the bad about being on set.
The turn ons of being on set, I'll be honest, this comes with something I like to speak to all my co-stars about. It is something I call the three C's. It's consent, communication, and comfort. I like speaking to my co-stars, you know, both in a happy and joking fashion to know that everyone is having fun and I get to get a sense of who they are as a person. I like to know that they're comfortable. I want to be sure that everybody, you know, like the temperature in the room, they like how the space is like a good feel for what we're doing and that we're comfortable with each other. And then consent. That's like probably the biggest, if not the biggest thing that we could talk about. Are they okay with everything they're signing up for? Are they not okay with something? Do they want to take a break? Do they want an empanada? It doesn't matter. The point is that I need to know that they're okay with what we're doing. And that even transcends past the actual set. But the point is that that's usually what I look for on set that turns me on the most. As far as turn offs, I guess it has to be the exact opposite. Not telling me certain things, especially when I blatantly ask you in terms of consent. Not talking to me at all or being very short in conversation. That makes me not want to shoot. I will pack my stuff and leave right now. And comfort. If I don't feel comfortable, I'll be very honest with you. I used to sell drugs. I used to sell weed and Molly. So I treat a lot of people like a drug deal. If it doesn't feel right, I'm leaving.
How would you describe your performance style? If someone stumbles upon this interview and is like, who is this Drew Will? How would you describe to them your performance style, your fuck style on camera?
So my style ranges, basically, especially depending on the scene. So usually I like to start a little sensual. I have no problem kissing. I'm a tongue kisser. I like to do sometimes a praise kink a little bit. You know, say if it's just a regular type of scene. I like to tell my co-star how beautiful they are, how sexy they are, how I like this outfit as I'm, you know, caressing them and kissing them. Then it's pretty much just a matter of like, you know, as the caressing is going on. And then it's very natural that as I'm talking, even if it's through dirty talk, I ask for consent to say remove something or, can you bend over? Can you get in this position? It's just something that I just like to do. But if the scene demands for it otherwise, like say if it's meant to be more hardcore rough scene, then I have no problem treating them like a rag doll. But all this is, again, spoken prior and everyone knows about it prior. So that's pretty much what it's like shooting with me. And I do check-ins on a regular basis as I shoot. And I even incorporate that in my dirty talk, the check-ins. Like if I say, hey, yeah, do you like that? I'm actually, hey, do you like that? You know, I'm actually asking. Because everyone's comfort level is important to me. And it's not just about getting the shot and doing the scene and the sex itself. Because I don't shoot with one person or any people to only shoot with them one time ever and get the content that we... I usually want a long-standing relationship with whoever I work with. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about these relationships. As you have been shooting content and that sort of thing, you know, I'm sure you have favorites. So I'm curious to ask you, who have been some of your most favorite performers to work with? Now, I'm not necessarily looking for some sort of ranked list and that kind of stuff. I'm also not looking for like a top 10, top 5 or anything like that. Just sort of names that are popping to your mind right now as I'm asking this question as, you know, wow, that was a memorable shoot right there.
Well, let's see. Some of my favorites have been, well, honestly, one of them is the first person I ever shot with. Her name was Skyla Bustier. She still has an account in the industry. She hasn't been active too much. You know, as far as I know, she has a personal life. The point being is that she was the first one to give me a shot that had any type of reputation, you know, getting bookings and such in the area. And she was always very cool. She actually made it a very big point to get to know me before we started shooting when we first met in person. And I was actually, you know, a little bit confused or surprised by that. I'm like, oh, you want to get to know me? I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, you know, we talked for a minute. We just shot the shit a lot. You know, we probably did, I think, about 2 scenes that first night. And afterwards, we went and got food, you know, hung out. And she, you know, was very cool about it. And we got our content, you know, shared the files, made sure she got them same day. But, yeah, she was one of my favorite people. We have 2 more scenes, actually. One is scene for St. Patrick's Day. That was fun. And, yeah, she was great. Someone else I love shooting with right now, I got to say, is Jess B. She's a little bit newer to the industry than I am, but she's doing great things right now. We actually just went to AVN together, and she hosted a content house. Like, she takes a lot of great initiative, and that's what I really like about her. So, outside of just working on set, she makes things happen in terms of like a trip. Like, I would have never even went to Las Vegas if it wasn't for her. So I owe her a lot for that experience too. And, you know, we plan on doing a lot more trips together. So she's someone that I very much hold in high regard.
Nowadays, I feel like there are a lot of people out there that believe in the power of manifestation, you know, putting the word out there into the universe and hoping that it responds, that it answers your calls. So let's use that power of manifestation right now by me asking you, who's on your wish list? Who would you love to do a scene with? Who's a performer or a list of performers that you would love to shoot with? Let's get the names out there and let's see if some magic can happen.
All right. So certain stars I like to see are ones that I've actually engaged with before they actually got popular. One in particular was Willow Ryder. So I remember I saw her page come up like, I think the same year I started going to Exotica Miami. That was 2022. And so that event itself was in June that year. I've seen her page since I think March or April. And the first time I saw her, I was like, she's going to be big as fuck. And there's nothing that's going to stop that. She has the look, the smile, the booty, the curly hair, and the everything. Like, I like everything about her. And she and I chatted for a little bit. Then I met her at Exotica, got a video of us together, you know, getting paddled and stuff by me. Very sweet, great personality. And then, like I predicted, she skyrocketed. And she seems to really come into her own in every sense. And she shows a lot of great dimensions. She's somebody I would definitely love to work with. Let's see, who else would I want to work with? Okay. So there's like some that have been doing this longer than I've ever been doing this, like Misty Stone. She's another one. I've seen her interviews. She has a great personality. She has a lot of experience both on and off camera. And I feel like she has a lot to offer to not just the scene as far as a co-star, but honestly putting an idea together. You know, she's really dope. Let's see. Who else would I want to work with? I want to work with, Blake Blossom. She's like really pretty. I don't know. She like really does it for me. But I would have to definitely do a scene with her and me and Malkova at the same time. But I feel like they're like kind of hard to get a handle of. But that's, again, you know, we're talking about a wish list right now.
Are there any individuals in the industry that you look up to? Are there any individuals whose career trajectory sort of like inspires you with what you are trying to do in the industry?
Yes, absolutely. Some of them I even talk to on almost a regular basis. Like his name is Dick HD Daly. I know it's a mouthful, pause, but I call him HD for short. I've seen him since I started, you know, getting into making content. He's got great work. He can fuck like a monster. He's a really cool dude, and I've met him a few times, you know, at different Exoticas and just recently at AVN. And he's a great dude. I can't really say much more than that. It's like I consider him a friend and a mentor. He taught me a lot of how to move in the industry, what to expect, what not to expect too, and just basically keep doing your thing despite what may or may not happen. Because, you know, right people and right opportunities will come to you. He's always, you know, said stuff like that. And, you know, I'm always wishing him the same thing. And we chat on a regular basis. He's a great guy. And someone else I look up to is also, I'll be honest with you. I feel like, you know, even though these people, like I mentioned, like Jess B, they're not fully vetted in the industry. I'm very inspired by my peers, you know, like people who keep you wanting to keep doing this that you can talk to on a regular basis. Like Jess B, she, like I said, you know, someone else who takes initiative to project manage. I'm like, okay, cool. It's not just me by myself doing all the work. There's people out here who really do this and are very serious about it. And, you know, that's really dope. So, yeah, she's another one.
What I want to do now is to break a porn scene down with you. In a scene, which do you enjoy the most, oral, vag, or anal?
That's a tough one. Because I like a lot of stuff. Well, let it be known first. I've never actually done anal. I never inserted into any co-star. It's not that I'm against it. It's just that I feel like not everyone prepped properly. The point is that don't worry about that part with anal. So everything else, which one do I like the most? I'll be honest with you. I feel like this is another reason why I kind of got into porn. Because if you really think, well, me personally, in my experience, good oral, like getting it, it's hard to come by. That is very rare. I've had great sex, but good head, that's very rare. So I feel like when the head is really fire, that could be like, just do it for me. And I could like not be able to stand up for a minute. So I think oral would probably be my favorite part. But in terms of like giving, because there's a lot of times I'm a pleaser. Vaginal is great because I love to show off, and I kind of have a curve, so you know, girls like that.
In a scene, what's your favorite sexual position to perform on camera?
Let's see, that would either be doggy style, or this can't be the name of the position. I swear to God, the Cosmopolitan calls it the linguine, but I don't like that. The point is basically, just imagine you're lying on your side, you put one knee up as if you're running. And, you know, basically you're looking up and then I'm on top of you. It's kind of like you get to do it from the back and the front at the same time. It's weird. Like the torso is twisted, but I like it because I get to choke, I get to spank, I get to slap in the face, I get to kiss and basically do everything at once.
And of course, we know how a scene ends with the pop shot, the cum shot. It's called the money shot for a reason. In a scene, where's your favorite place to shoot your load?
In all honesty, because I've met some very cool co-stars, and we've discussed it prior also, cream pies are my favorite, and they're very addictive. But the point is that, obviously, if consent is spoken otherwise and cream pie is not the option, I like a good on-the-booty cum shot.
What I want to do now is sort of shift gears in this interview just a hair and talk about some of the more serious issues in the industry and to sort of kick off this set of questions, I'm going to ask you, is there an aspect of the industry, is there an aspect of the adult entertainment industry that you do not enjoy?
Let's see. I do not like that when it comes to our platforms, we use them to perpetuate drama. And specifically, I speak about disagreements in the workplace. So I'm all for letting people know that maybe someone may be a potential hazard for good reason and with proof, and it's not just all hearsay. But if you have a disagreement with somebody, please don't use your platforms to try to cancel someone. That's something I very much don't like about the industry, because it's no different than any type of workplace harassment if anyone's ever had a job outside of sex work. It's one-on-one gaslighting. It is unethical. It's distasteful. And whether they know it or not, it keeps them from getting opportunities of either working with people they want to work with or getting booked for a paid shoot from companies that they would love to have worked for. But these companies are watching you, whether they're following you or not. And they have people on their behalf watching your page, whether they follow you or not. And it's in your best interest to not do things like that. So that's something I very much detest. But, you know, you can't really fix every problem. It's either you know how to move around it, or you're just going to have to just take it as it comes.
Are there any misconceptions or myths about porn performers or the porn industry in general that you would like to dispel?
Yes. My favorite one: do not have to have sex with men to have sex with women in the porn industry. I don't know who made this up, but it's not true. And if you ever did it because you thought you had to, then congratulations on your open-mindedness. But yeah, so that's one misconception. The other one is, yes, you can do these scenes without having to take injections or take supplements to enhance your performance. As long as you're willing to commit to the work with people who actually value you. That's the main thing, because if you step on a set where people don't care about you, then of course, I think I'd have a hard time getting my dick up too. Even if it's a set with just you and the girl and you're the one shooting, why are you shooting with someone who doesn't care? That's another thing. The point is that once you are working with someone that you value and they value you back, you'll do great.
As a black man in the adult entertainment industry, have you ever experienced any racism, colorism, discrimination, or microaggressions?
Hell yeah. So one of my favorite ones, I took a drive up to Boston, of all places, to shoot with somebody. And me and the girl spoke prior. She was somewhat new to the industry. I think I was her second guy ever. Definitely was her first black guy, because I even asked her. After I set up shop in the space we were going to shoot in, she arrived. And basically, in terms of the topic you're talking about, I asked her specifically. I said, hey, have you ever, you know, shot with a black guy? I just wanted to ask, you know, just want to be sure, because I noticed that I may be your first, but I didn't see any on your pages prior. And she said, yeah, I mean, unless you count the time that I got, you know, taken against my will. I'd rather not say that word. You know, I'm sure you know what I mean, but the point is that basically she let that be known. And I'll be honest with you. Granted, I just feel like in a professional sense, that was not a good thing to disclose. So yeah, that just wasn't cool for me. But basically, I felt like my comfort was not accounted for. The honestly, I want to see, it's common sense for like consent. You don't say things like that. So I felt like with that, it got in the way of my performance. And I felt like that was a bit of a racist dig. So, you know, because you don't really say that to anybody if they belong to that demographic when you're about to shoot with them. Because what do you expect from them? And then honestly, after that shoot, they wanted to not release the content and said that, despite us having the paperwork, that I'm not allowed to release it. And I'm like, okay, I guess you don't know how this industry works when you sign your consent over release forms and 2257s. But this is, again, someone who has only had their second scene with a guy ever, and maybe like one or two with a girl before that. Like, they were brand new compared to me. So they just made it a whole big thing. But I feel like it was more so about them wanting to shoot with a black man for their audience base than actually shooting with a black man, because they just basically found them attractive enough to work with, and also because they were a good business partner in this project.
I also want to ask you, especially in this modern day where performers have to wear many hats, right? You know, if you're doing OnlyFans, if you're doing ManyVids, if you're doing any of the other subscription-based or a la carte-based platforms, you yourself are your talent booker. You yourself are at times your editor, promoter, hype person, all that kind of thing. And so because you are now your talent booker, you have to slide into DMs. You have to reply to tweets, you know, when people are like, you know, who should I work with and that kind of thing. So how difficult is it in the modern day era, the modern day porn era, to find fellow content creators to film with, but not just to find them, but to actually shoot the scene with them? Because, you know, you might have booked what you think is the next hotness for your scene, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to show up to do the scene, right? There are fakes and flakes and that kind of stuff that you have to deal with in the industry. So how difficult is it to make a scene happen in the year 2025 when you're doing your own original content?
It's actually not difficult at all. So I know, right? You gave me a lot with that, but honestly, in my experience, the thing is, I say it's not difficult because you get used to being disappointed. And the trick to that is don't invest too much in other people. Invest in yourself, fine. But don't invest other people to be on board with a joint project, because people will always be people. And the thing is, like you mentioned, you know, we're pretty much our own source for everything to make a shoot happen. You know, bringing the equipment, you know, getting the place, coordinating traveling, even maybe sometimes, depending on how well you have a rapport with this person, compensating travel and such. The point is that everything mentioned is really on you. So the first thing you should really keep in mind is something is not going to go as planned, and you have to be okay with that. And even if it's something not on your end, it's on something on their end where the shoot goes either sideways or doesn't happen at all. You got to get used to that. That's just going to happen. And the more that you get that thick skin, the more that things will get easier, to the point you're just like, why am I sharing a stage with Monet Divine? Something was supposed to go wrong. It didn't, because you stuck to it. You understood what comes with it, and it pays off. So when it comes to finding the right co-stars, it really just is about speaking to them, not just expecting to just pull up and just have a scene happen. No, nothing's really going to stay in place and be tangible to anybody unless you build a rapport with them, not just as you first initially message them out, but you talk about the scene. You talk about your resources that you have to make it happen. You want their input also. It's not just about you, because, you know, depending on if it's a booking or not, if it's a collab, then their ideas and their creativity matters also. For, you know, they could help. They could have a camera person. They could have editing skills. They could have all this crap. They got a space to shoot. It's good that you come prepared, but also make sure that you include who is involved in the shoot also, because you'd only make it easier for yourself by listening to them.
I love that. That's great advice, especially for someone out there that's just starting up, trying to do their own content. It's better to be prepared for disappointment, but when things work out, as you said, shout out to the great Monet Divine. You know, when things work out, I mean, it can be magic.
Exactly. And you know, disclaimer, I've never shot with Monet Divine. I'm just giving an example. I would love to. She's listening. I met her a couple times, but, you know, just saying.
It can happen. She's a lovely person. I interviewed her at Exotica last year. I'm sure you can make it happen.
God willing, you know.
Yes. All right, let's shift away from the serious stuff, and let's talk about something serious in a very different direction. Let's talk about your original content. Tell me about what the listeners can expect to see if they were to subscribe to see your original content. What type of content are you shooting?
Okay, so you subscribe to my content, you will get regular updates on new scenes dropping on a weekly basis. Everyone that is consistent and subscribed, you get deals. You know, you don't just get the regular monthly payout that you get. You get a deal, especially if I see you engaging, you comment on my stuff, you let me know what you think about the work. You even suggest people that I want to shoot with. I get that sometimes. You know, I communicate with you. I talk with you. It makes me want to do this even more than I already am. And that's just support. You know, support is everything. Everyone has followers. You can buy followers. You can get followers naturally, but your followers typically don't engage with you on a introspective level. They don't really care so much about what you're doing as much as they're liking it, maybe buying it. But then at the same time, you know, you get stuff like, say, a chargeback that makes you feel devalued. And it's like, okay, what is this? But if I see that my followers and subscribers are actually engaging with me, and they are actually quite essentially helping me build my platform by being this engaging that I'm talking about, then yeah, I'm going to do you some solid. You know, you get an exclusive photo set. Me and my photographer, Patrick, out in Brooklyn, we do photo sets with our co-stars, and we try to make things as elegant and fresh and flashy as we can with the ideas presented to us. So, you know, you get hooked up with the photo sets, maybe an exclusive scene itself. I do customs. You know, this time I get custom acts to do a BDSM scene with black latex gloves specifically, and, you know, have certain actions performed with the co-star who's ever willing. So, you know, I'm very much open to engaging with whatever my fans would want.
You do drop your original content via a bunch of different ways, right? You have OnlyFans, you have Fansly, Pornhub, Xvideos, and that sort of thing. I do enjoy that you have diversified yourself, because I feel like a lot of people out there just sort of stick to one platform when in reality you should be on multiple platforms. I want to give you the chance to break down the differences. Is there a difference in, you know, what you upload in this platform versus that platform, or is it all pretty much consistently the same?
So the reason why I have different platforms is because outwardly, I've had potential co-stars say to me that they won't work with me, and this is previously, if I have only a certain number of platforms underneath what they may have. So say there was a point where I only had OnlyFans and Fansly. I reached out to someone who was following me. They said they were interested, but I didn't have many vids. And I'm like, okay, didn't ask why. You know, I feel like, you know, there's certain things that you think about first. And I saw the benefits of it once I made it a many vids account. You don't need subscribers. You get outright buyouts. Granted, there is that percentage cut. However, the amount of videos I get bought off many vids compared to OnlyFans is crazy. Like, it doesn't really matter if you only get a couple views, a couple likes, and they're visible to anyone that may access your page. You get paid more than you think that you get paid. And it's really funny that that is what taught me to actually make these diversified accounts. So that OnlyFans is good because, you know, you get a monthly subscription. And there's times that, you know, you have fans who are either so loyal or honestly so forgetful, they're subscribed. They're just okay with paying you because they wanted to see what else you're going to put out there. And then Fansly has its differences with the tiers and stuff. You know, that's a little bit, like, different. But, you know, you can play with that as you will. And I'll be honest with you, as a content creator, you can also do whatever you want, or you can cut out the middleman. You don't have to do these pages like OnlyFans, ManyVids that take their cut. You can just make a Telegram. You can just make a vid, you know, have someone, all right, subscribe to this channel. Pay this every month. I have you on my channel listing. If I don't get a Cash App payment from you on the first, you know, it's like the rent. It's due the first. If I don't get it this month, I'm kicking you out. You're going to be wondering why I kicked you out. I'll remind you. I get a payment, I'll let you back in. And the same thing's with Snapchat as well. Tell you a video. You want it? Premium account? You know, this is how much it is. You don't like it? You're gone. But, you know, that's the benefits of being independent. You can make those rules, make as many platforms as you want. But the more platforms you make, the more exposure you make for yourself. So that's why Xvideos is great, and so is Pornhub. But, you know, I'm sure now with the recent laws going into place, Pornhub's about to be limited.
You are right about that. Yeah, I think a lot of people become a little narrow-minded when it comes to just releasing all their content via one platform. And I get it. You know, it's convenient. It's easy. It is annoying as fuck, you know, making different accounts and, you know, making sure everything is updated and all that kind of stuff. Trust me, I know that because, you know, I put my podcast out on various different podcasting platforms and that kind of thing. But as you said, the benefit is different eyeballs. You know, some people like one, some people like, you know, this other one. And you just want to make sure that, you know, you can get as many eyes on your content as possible. So, I completely feel you and understand exactly what you're saying. Now, my other question for you is in regards to your original content is, how often do you update it? How often are you posting new scenes and that kind of thing?
So basically what I do is for the most part, I'm going to make every, say, boy, girl or solo video, like me and another girl. I'm going to make that $24.99 or $25 because I'll be realistic with you. Us as content creators, especially the ones who get talent tested or clear tested, you know, industry standards, we come out of pocket a lot, especially if we have collabs or booking on a regular basis. And we got to make our money back, man. And I'm about to talk about before tax season, especially after tax season, because when we make this money, you know, through our fans and everything, purchases and such, if we go over a certain amount, we got to claim that or IRS is on our ass. So with that said, with the money we make right away, it's usually not taxed. So we have to pay that back. So we need our money fast. And it requires a hustling mindset. So when making these videos and stuff, you can't be mad when we raise our prices, especially if you're paying rent. You know, the rent goes up every year, so our prices got to go up. It has to match up, it has to equal out, and the only ones who understand that are actual true fans and such.
You referenced this earlier in the interview, and I want to pick your brain on this. The AVNs were very recent. They were just a couple of weeks ago, and I know a lot of performers like to go to the AVNs, not just for the award show or for the expo, but because there are so many performers that flock to Las Vegas. Collaborations, scene work, original content is being filmed pretty much 24/7 during the days leading up to the expo and in the days afterwards. So I just want to get your take on like what you got into, what was your experience like at the AVN Expo this year?
So let's see. So first of all, shout out to Jesse for giving me a ride. we went there together with a group of us, Flex, Lion, and then a couple other people. The point is that, you know, we got there. And once you get there, it's just a gigantic, like, hall of whoredom, which is great. Like, we get there, you see all your favorite porn stars right in front of you, your favorite brands right in front of you, or someone's doing like a raffle game. Some, there's a lot of stuff. It's just a porn circuit. You see your whole search history in front of you. And basically, I met up with a friend of mine, a new one. Her name is Crystal Cream. She is not a content creator as far as performing. She's a director. She does great work. She's worked with a few people like Luna Legend and others, and Dante Diggs. So basically, she and I have been chatting since the summer, you know, about maybe working together or doing something. And we always just chatted. We had a good rapport, and we finally met. You know, she was really cool. She and I actually mobbed together the whole expo once me and Jess B, like, you know, started going our separate ways during the event. And but me and Crystal Cream, we stuck together. We just went to everything we wanted to go to, spoke to everyone, took pictures for each other. And it was just really dope. You know, we got a bunch of free swag bag stuff. The Brazzers booth was great. Ricky's Room booth was great. I met some of the people I really wanted to meet for a while, like Princess Emily. She was very sweet. Kira Noir, she was the first Black woman to ever win Performer of the Year. So that was really dope meeting her, too. And I met a lot of other people I've actually worked with, like a couple of hot wives, like Hot Wife Sadie Rose. Let's see, Crystal Davis, she was great. And I stopped by the Cox Models booth. I saw a lot of people I liked over there too, like Juliana Marie. And it was just a great experience. It really was. So anyone who is thinking about going, go. Go with a good group of friends too, though. That way, you know, you're not getting lost in the craziness.
Something else that you referenced to earlier is Content House. So I want to ask you sort of like a twofold question, because there might be some listeners that are tuning in that, you know, may have heard the term before, but have no idea what the hell it is. So can you explain what a content house is? And then as a follow-up or a part of this sort of like twofold question, what goes into making a good content house? What goes into making sure that the content house is a success?
So for a content house, for those who don't know, it is typically a rented out house, but sometimes someone can own the house that is a creator. And it is used specifically for housing and shooting content and content creators. This house is not only limited to performers, but also people who are camera persons, or maybe a personal assistant. The point is that everyone has a ground-based understanding of why we're here. This is not a swinger event. This is not a house where everyone's having sex or someone is like just going to pop up and just like just pull a condom out and not have tested, you know, results. The only people who are having sex are those who are actually tested performers and those who have seen each other as statuses from their results. Or they're going to be, like I mentioned, camera persons or some type of like assistant or aide. And these houses can range from, like I mentioned, being someone's own house or rental, like a really nice Airbnb or something on Vrbo, that's VRBO. And they're just going to have a great time not only shooting content, but hanging out, getting to know each other, having peers that are established on a interpersonal level. And this is a very good experience to have because it's very hard navigating the industry by yourself, especially with updated new things, be it persons of interest or brands of interest. And this was a great experience that I've had with JSB just passing. So when you go to a content house, first off, have all your expenses taken care of. Have everything ready and mapped out. Do not expect anyone to do you any favors. It's just like any other vacation trip, but this is a work trip. So it's even more prevalent for you to be on top of your stuff in terms of finances. Then have your schedule together. Speak to everyone about who's doing what in what room at what time and respect everyone's shooting times. Like, you know, don't make any crazy noises and stuff in back where it might catch up on the camera and they'll hear it. Then also just be respectful to anyone walking in, out, and around the house. You know, like, you know, maybe you're going to see some dicks. You're going to see some pussy. You're going to see some titties. You're going to see people sweating out of their brains from having sex. The point is that this is stuff that you are going to see, and this is working conditions. And, you know, if it's not for you or you feel like it might be very strange or you don't like this, then maybe you should just get your own space, like a hotel room, and operate out of there. But this is something that you get used to, and in this, you develop great relationships, and going forward, you have someone that you always want to shoot with and even a group of people that you'll do this with.
I love that. That was a beautiful picture painted by you because it really sort of encompasses what someone would expect to see from a content house experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and also you might actually get someone who has no problem throwing down on the grill and cooking burgers and hot dogs for everyone, a.k.a. me, because that's what I did at mine.
There you go. Now it's time for the big question that I'm sure a lot of your hardcore fans and supporters might be curious to know. How big is Drew Will? How much are you packing?
You know, it's funny. I didn't think that would be the question you would ask. I was thinking, like, it would be funny if he asked this question, but the fact you did, that says a lot. All right. So I'm about, it's been a minute since I measured myself. But the point is that I believe that last time I checked, I was about 7 inches or so. And that's including the curve because, you know, it's not like a straight line. But, yeah, 7 inches long. And I'm more on the thicker side from what everyone tells me. So I want to say I'm about like 3.5 inches thick, maybe more. So something like that. But I think I do all right for myself.
And as a follow-up also, since we're doing a lot of follow-ups from stuff that we discussed earlier, we talked about the pop shot, right? We talked about the money shot. So now I want to get your take on, as a performer, when you have a scene coming up, you know that you're going to come, what do you do? Do you do anything in particular to prepare for the pop shot?
Let's see, to prepare for the pop shot. So typically when I'm about to come, I am most of the time going like very rapid fire missile action strokes, like very like hard. And I usually let the person know I'm about to come, I'm about to nut, something of that nature. Or if we have like a certain line, like say, like we had a scene that we did recently, it was a football scene that's going to release actually this weekend. I was like, I'm about to score. I'm about to get a touchdown. So I forgot what I said, but it's something along the lines of like football jargon. But yeah, something like that. I let it be known to my co-star that I'm going to come so that whatever position that we agreed to the pop shot to be in, they're ready for it. And they can get in position once I pull out. or if it's a cream pie, I'm going to let them know. And this time's even on the fly right there. I'm even asking them, because he might have forgot where we wanted the gum shot. I say, where do you want it? And they tell me, and then, you know, we just do it as such.
As another callback from something that you mentioned earlier in the interview, let's talk about script writing in the adult industry. What goes into crafting a good porn scene from a script writer's perspective?
So to make a good scene from a writing aspect, I like to know who's going to be in the scene, you know, the performers. And a lot of the time people, you know, when I'm asked to write a scene, they already have the basic plot written out. Like they say they want it to be in a strip club and, you know, they want just sex. They're like, all right, make it happen, Drew. I'm like, okay. But I feel like once I know who is going to be in the scene, I can do something that caters to both their image and how they portray themselves, not just how they look, but how they want to be presented, because there's a respect term between the writer and the performer, because we're all artists. You know, they're the ones that are going to be on camera. I like to respect how people portray themselves, because that's what their marketing is. That's their basis. Unless they're that diverse and they can do all these different hats, I like to cater to what their marketing is as an image and performer. So once I know who's going to be in the scene, it's a lot easier to gauge. Then I like to get a little bit of ambiance, you know, how the scene looks a little bit, and the vibe, even if it's just a conversation preceding the actual scene. And then once that is in play, I can actually throw in a little bit of dialogue, not too much, because, you know, this is about fucking. So just a little bit of humor is good. That way people, you know, to break the ice, it just like shakes off the tension, even if it's for the performers on set. Because, you know, once they look at the script prior and on set, they're like, oh yeah, this part's funny. This is going to like, you know, loosen us up a little bit. Because despite who you are, I don't care if you're a veteran, everyone gets a little bit of quakes and nerves. Even if it's someone that you shot with before multiple times, there's times that because it's a recorded scene, hey, you know, I'm a little bit whatever, but if we could laugh a little bit, that will help. So I like to add in a little joke here and there. And then the positions. This also was, again, back to the performers. Once I know who is performing, I know that they can do certain positions. Like, if I were a scene for J-Mac, I'm already going to put the full Nelson. I already know that. So once I know that this person has a great physique and is in shape, I know they can, say, pick the girl up, do the wheelbarrow, or whatever may have you. Or if a girl's in great shape, or they have a particular skill set, I'm like, okay, we want squirting. Or, okay, we want anal. Or whatever, you know, that may come to mind that I know that they're very used to doing.
As we start wrapping things up, I have this list of pop culture-oriented questions that are basically designed to allow the listeners and your fans to get to know some of your favorites. The first question in this set is, what are five of your most favorite television shows?
Okay, that will be The Sopranos. I watch that shit like it's nothing. The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire, Mafia Culture. I know you see a pattern. Friends in College. It's a funny ass show. There's only two seasons, but I love it. What else do I love? Oh, Cowboy Bebop. It's just something about that. It's very aesthetic. Let's see. What's another one I really like? Oh my God, The Ozarks. That's kind of like Mobster too, but a blend of a little bit more, but still Mobster. Let's see. If I can think of one more. I'm going to have to say Dragon Ball, like the 1980s one specifically.
Who are four of your all-time favorite music artists?
Okay, so if we're talking about just group, just artists, or if we can talk about groups too.
Groups are included.
First one of the, okay, groups are included. All right, I'm going to kind of cheat. Number one favorite, say, rapper of all time is Raekwon the Chef from the Wu-Tang Clan. Favorite group is Wu-Tang Clan. I know I cheated, I'm sorry. I love A Tribe Called Quest. If I could switch genres, I love Flight Facilities, you know, electronic music. Their album, Down to Earth, was the shit. I always play that. And what's another group? From psychedelic rock, I like Krungbin. they're really awesome. I need to see them live. In terms of singing, let's see. I want to get some R&B in there. I love Neo Soul, so I forget if we're on 4 or 5 right now, but I'm going to go with D'Angelo. He only had maybe 2 albums, but Voodoo was the shit. And if I could throw in one more on the jazz side of things, John Coltrane.
What are 3 of your most favorite films?
I will always watch Prometheus. It's that sci-fi flick with Michael Fassbender. So this is a really good fucking movie. I don't know. It's just really great. Especially since it's after the Alien series, which is great in itself. Another film I really liked was Killing. No, not that one. The Irishman. The Irishman, you know, with Pacino and everybody. You know, Scorsese puts everyone in the same fucking movie. But that was great, too. And honestly, Training Day. That was the shit.
What are 2 foods you can't live without?
Statistically speaking, and of course, it's Black History Month, fried chicken. damn, you only give me 2? It's fucked up. I'm a big dog. Fuck it, mac and cheese. Let the toilet cry.
And what is 1 of your guilty pleasures?
One of my guilty pleasures. I don't know. I think I'm a good boy. But if I have to say, being petty. Like, if basically someone doesn't like me, I'm going to give them a reason to not like me more.
What are you currently binging? Are you currently binge-watching anything on any of the streaming platforms?
I am watching Banshee. The show is fire. It's old as fuck, but it's fire. I'm like, yo, I'm season 4 right now. It's about to end, so I'm sick. But it's great. Watch it. HBO Max. If you don't have it, I'll give you my password.
Tell me something quirky about yourself that most people don't know. Something unique about Drew.
Something about me that's quirky. I have a very, I guess, unique ability for saying very good analogies about a given situation at any moment. Like, I'm very fast thinking. And it's not like I have, you know, an inability to keep my thoughts to myself. But basically, if something were to happen, I could pretty much paint the picture of analogy that is just like, and it pretty much fits the bill. You know, just like a way of words like that.
Describe yourself in 10 words or less.
10 words or less. I feel like there's a rap verse for this or something, but I guess to describe myself in 10 words or less, I'm an old soul, very overthinking, but to a healthy standpoint. So old soul overthinking, serious. I am very serious. Decisive. I usually always know what I want. I think that was 5. I'm genuine to a fault. I'm working on that. I'm driven. And I have a lot of endurance. That's 2 words right there, driven and endurance. And let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm very diligent. I take my time. I don't rush things. And if I'm rushed, I'm not doing it. But it's in a timely fashion still. And I think I have 1 more word, right? Am I wrong?
I'll be honest, I lost count. I was counting every single word, but then because I was like, is he forming a sentence? But then I realized you were counting the keywords. And so then I lost count. I apologize to the universe.
No, it's cool, man. Let's just say we have 1 more word left. Very open. You know, like, I know that my perspective is not the only thing. So I'm very open to what someone else has to say or feel about something.
What's next for Drew Will? What's coming up in the near future that the listeners and your fans should be excited about? It's time to tease what's to come in the coming weeks, in the coming months. What's in the bag?
So after Exotica, after AVN, I had a number of scenes, about 10 scenes done, and I still have others prior to that that are coming out. So the most exciting one is right now, I just, like today, just dropped a scene with the lovely Lizzie Daniels from Pennsylvania. She's very dope. She's into a lot of dope stuff like BDSM and theme content. We're going to have an Easter scene dropping. She's in cute bunny ears with a cottontail butt plug and some really hot shit. Then I had a scene with some girl during AVN. It was a gangbang football theme scene, all orchestrated by Jess B. The ladies are wearing Buffalo Bills jerseys. That's along with Marie Fox, because they're all Buffalo Bills, either fans or from Buffalo itself. The other guys are wearing rival teams jerseys because the play on words is that these teams fucked over the Buffalo Bills, so we actually fuck them. And I'm wearing a Jets jersey because that's the closest thing to Jersey, the New Jersey they got. I hate the Jets. Then everyone else is either wearing a Lions, Patriots, or Chiefs jersey. And it's a great scene. It's directed and filmed by Danny Vegas. He's a great producer. He has production brand Pog Films. So we had a lot of fun doing that at the content house. Then I got a lot of other scenes, like with Jen Cameron. She loves to play a nurse and stuff. I gave her a nice sensual scene. Brand new on the scene is Scarlet Rebel. I was her first collab, you know, pretty much like officially ever professionally. And that was really great. She was awesome to work with. We had a wonderful time. And honestly, after that, I'm probably going to be out soon in terms of most of my content. And I'm looking to definitely lock down shoots for Chicago Exotica. That's going to be fun.
How can your fans reach you? Where can they find you on the web, social media, where they can find your content? It's time for all of your important links.
So pretty much just type in at Drew Will. And there's a variation, but from there, you'll find me easy. Instagram is at Drew Will X3, like the number 3. And Twitter is at Drew Will 3X's. So that's at Drew Will XXX. That's the same for Pornhub and X videos. For my many vids, is at Drew Will Do. And for my fansly, it's the same, at Drew Will Do, D-O. And yeah, that's how you find me. Or, you know, if you want to send me an email, something in specifics, you know, at drewwilldo@gmail.com. And same thing in my Telegram, at drewwilldo.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and supporters that are tuning in?
Hey, man, everyone who buys my content, likes anything, reposts anything, comments, positive stuff, thanks a lot. Because honestly, you know, I could keep doing this, but it wouldn't feel right unless I had that support. All my people who support me that are peers, love you. I hope we see each other again very soon and we get to working together. And you'll probably Chulo, thanks for having me for my first ever interview as a performer. You know, I really appreciate this. It, you know, puts a voice behind the dick. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was actually going to thank you as well. Thank you so much for the interview, and thank you so much for allowing my platform to be the home of your first ever interview as a performer.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And the door's open for more. Whenever you want to come back to update the listeners on what you've been up to, you have an invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Once I start getting more stuff going, maybe especially after Exotica, I'll definitely hit you back.
Perfect. And listeners, also want to thank you for tuning into One-on-One with Papi Chulo. Before we go, here's our announcer to remind you on how you can interact with us.
Thank you for downloading One-on-One with Papi Chulo. Here are a few helpful reminders. For more information on One-on-One with Papi Chulo, visit poppychuloradio.com/afterdark. Follow Papi Chulo on Twitter at twitter.com/PapiChulo1on1. That's at Papi Chulo. The number one. The word on. And the number one. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PapiChuloRadio. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/PapiChuloRadio. Do you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns? Email us via contact@PapiChuloRadio.com. Are you interested in joining the Poppy Chula Radio team as an on-air personality? Email talent at poppychularadio.com. Binge listen to your favorite Poppy Chula Radio programs by visiting poppychularadio.com/archives. Back to you, Poppy Chulo.
Thanks, announcer. And with that, Drew, Will, and I would like to wish you and yours a wonderful night. Good night, listeners.
Good night, listeners. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. To contact us with any of your questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, email us at contact@poppychuloradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/poppychuloradio. And like us on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to showcase exclusive interviews with some of the adult industry's most popular male performers. This is Ben Patrick Johnson saying good night and have a wonderful week.